Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy. Come on, you may take your seats. Take your seats tonight. And I'm excited. Here's why. I don't know if you're here this morning, but we saw something this morning begin to shift in this place. Yeah. I saw God, Holy Spirit, begin to move in lives this morning. And I believe that He's not done yet. I believe it's just the beginning. It's going to send us on a trajectory that is going to shape and shift the culture that we live in here at City Point North. And I'm excited. I'm actually excited. Thank you, Ben. Let's give it up for the worship team. They're phenomenal. Before we move on, I just want to say this. No, I'm not being biased, but Jesse, I am so proud of you. Like, a few years ago when I was praying, before I was even at this church, I saw a vision of you and I doing stuff together in ministry. And I never thought it would actually be possible. Nothing bad. Just I thought I was going one direction, you're going the other. But can I just say, God has marked you and you are absolutely anointed. And I can't wait to see what God does with your life, man. Come on. You're awesome, bro. Well, the theme of this month is This Is Us. And we've been enjoying this theme. This morning, Pastor Gray brought a phenomenal word about prayer. And that's actually what I'm preaching on tonight, is about prayer. And that's sort of why I said I felt like the Holy Spirit's been moving, because we haven't even compared notes or talked about what we're going to preach on until later this week. And we were preaching on the same thing, very similar, which is great. It means that God has an agenda. And when God has an agenda, it means there's purpose in the room, right? And when there's purpose in the room, you know what happens? God begins to move in a powerful, powerful way. So tonight, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit would move. I don't want you to hear necessarily the words that I have to say. I want you to hear what Holy Spirit is speaking through me. So before we go any further, I'm going to pray. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. What an honor it is to be on your platform tonight, God. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you've begun to do in this house over the last 6 months and what you're going to continue to do. Tonight, Holy Spirit, you have free reign. This is your church. This is your platform, not mine. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me tonight. I pray that you would move tonight, God, that people would encounter you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Well, as I said, I'm going to be speaking on prayer, and I'm just going to get straight into it. I believe that prayer is essential to us and our Christian lives. The truth is that there are some things in our life that will only shift and move with the power of prayer. That's the truth. Remember when the disciples went to Jesus and they said, hey, we've done this and we've done that and we can't seem to get breakthrough. The demons won't seem to leave. And Jesus said, there's only some things you're going to have to fast and you're going to have to pray for. You know, God wouldn't put an emphasis on prayer if it wasn't important. And here's why. Prayer is simply this, talking to God. It's having relationship with God. And over the last few years, I've learned how to develop a relationship with God through the power of prayer. You know, I believe that prayer is one of the most important things. As well as the Word of God, but prayer is so important to us in our Christian walk. You know, I just want to give you an example. Oh, may I please have my phone? Can you please? Oh, never mind, it's in my office. Sorry, babe. I did have a phone here. Just pretend I have a phone. Those of you who have a smartphone, you'd understand. Like, you have an iPhone, your Samsung, HTC, that sort of stuff. The thing with the smartphones is that everything that we do in today's age is based around technology. Based around smartphones, computers, that sort of stuff. And I think that the iPhone is an incredible design. It has some amazing features that I would use and we would use every single day. Let me give you an example. You get in your car, you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get to the destination you need to go to, you can put maps on. It's got a navigation system in it. You can use it to connect with friends and family in Australia, around the corner, or over the other side of the world. You can listen to music. You can watch messages. You can read your Bible. You can watch YouTube. My favorite one is, did you know that you can actually order food on your phone from your living room, and it actually will be delivered to your door? Did you know that? That's one of the most amazing designs that I think that my iPhone has. It's probably why I haven't lost any weight. Maybe I should go on a smartphone diet. That's a new one, a smartphone diet. But the truth is, without power, the phone isn't able to be used to its full potential. Are you hearing me? Without power, without the phone being charged, it's not able to be used to its full potential. What good would this incredible device be to me or to you if your phone had no power in it? Just a paperweight is what it would be pretty much. May I suggest to you tonight that prayer is to the body what power is to the phone. And we need to be connected to the power source. Amen. The power source is Jesus. The power source is the Holy Ghost. As Christians, we need to be connected to the power source. You know, I'm guilty of this. Some of us charge our phones more than we pray. I'm not casting judgment. I'm not speaking condemnation. I'm guilty of this myself. That's the truth. And God wants to change some mindsets. He wants to shift some ideas tonight. You know, when the phone has no battery, it becomes limited. When we pray and we have relationship with God, what was limited becomes unlimited. Wow. What we couldn't do in our own strength, God takes a hold of. And He places His covering and His blessing and His power on it. And He allows us to move forward with the purpose that He has placed on our life. It only happens when you're connected to the power source. I don't have any points, but if you want to take a point tonight, this is one of them. Prayer is power. Prayer is power. Prayer is powerful. Here's why. If you want to grow in your world, pray. If you want your relationships to flourish, pray. If you want to be more consistent in your day-to-day life, pray. If you need breakthrough in your world, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. Healing in your body, prayer. Healing in your heart, pray. If you want God to move in the miraculous, pray. If you want God to move in your mundane, your everyday, your Monday to Sunday, you need to pray. This is something that God has been speaking to me about lately, is the power of prayer. Praying in the natural releases the supernatural over our lives. What do I mean by supernatural? I don't want to throw just statements and not explain them. The supernatural is everything that is available in heaven to us becomes accessible through the power of prayer. Peace, mercy, grace, patience, power, presence. You can keep naming it. That's the power of prayer. And it releases something in the natural when we pray. May I please have my water? My throat's getting dry. Thank you, my darling. My gorgeous wife. Oh, I can say that now. I've waited 5 years to say that. Why did it take you so long to marry me? Maybe it's because I didn't pray enough. Come on. All right, let's bring it back in. Sorry, Lord. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Then he goes on to say in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Whether you speak in tongues or not, it's irrelevant. Okay, what matters is that you pray. And I just want to clarify this. Speaking in tongues does not mean you're not saved. It does not mean that you don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. All it really means is that there's a gift that's yet to be unopened. It's yet to be opened. That's all it is. So don't stress. But for those of you who can speak in tongues in your heavenly language, Paul says here, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's a bold prayer to pray. But here's the thing. Have you actually examined and studied Paul's life? You know, he had this encounter on the road to Damascus, was radically transformed, and went on to change the known world for God. But I believe that he lived a life in prayer. Well, he says it himself. I lived a life in prayer. I pray more than all of you. What's that mean? It means he had relationship with God, communicative relationship with God. That's hard to do. When I first read that, I was a bit convicted. I was like, oh, praying all the time. Like, I don't like praying longer than 2 minutes. I've tried it. I honestly have. And sometimes I'll be praying, and like Pastor Gray said this morning, I'll be praying in the natural, and, you know, God, you're so good. Thank you so much for this day. And, Lord, thank you for work. I can't wait to get to work. Wonder what I'm going to have for lunch. Probably going to have KFC again because KFC's, ah, oh, damn. Now, like, you know what I mean? Like, I do that. I get distracted all the time. And then Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so I kind of wrestled with this one for a while until I read a quote from a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Raise your hand if you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth. Many of us. He is an incredible, he's still alive in heaven. He's dead here, but it doesn't matter. He was an incredible man of God. One of the most influential men, I believe, to have walked this earth in the last hundreds of years. I encourage you tonight, if you don't know who he is, go and Google him. Read about some of the things that happened in his world. Read about some of the testimonies that he walked through. And get this, he attributes it to his prayer. He attributes it to reading the word as well, but tonight we're talking about prayer. You know, some things are crazy. Like, I remember reading some of his manuscripts, is that what you will, when I was at Bible college, and he was talking about this time he was walking down this street in England, and he was just speaking in the Holy Ghost, walking along like there was nothing happening. And he turned around and there was this cloud of glory, this glory dust. It was like this thick, thick presence. You could smell it. You could taste it. You could see it. And as he would walk down the street, people would begin to get healed. He wouldn't pray for them. He'd just walk past them. They'd get healed. Or people would begin to get convicted of their sin and come up to him and start to repent and give their lives to God. This man attributes that to his prayer life, to his relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I would love to be able to experience the presence and the power of God like that. Yes. I believe it's possible. Yeah, I don't believe it's impossible. I don't think anything's impossible for God. I think it's possible to live a life laid down for Jesus, experiencing these things. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 9:9, come follow me. Why would he ask us to follow him if it wasn't possible to live like him? Wow. He's not stupid, you know? And then he sends his Holy Ghost. Yeah. And I've gone off topic. That actually wasn't anywhere in my notes. Okay, where am I up to? All right, so he says this, Smith Wigglesworth says this quote, I never pray longer than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Wow. Come on, come on. I don't pray any longer than 20 minutes. I don't pray any longer than 20 minutes. I go 30 seconds and then I have to start again because I muck up. But he says, I never go longer than 20 minutes, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. Man, that's powerful. Prayer is significant for our lives. If Smith Wigglesworth needed prayer, so do we. If Paul needed prayer, so do we. If Jesus modeled a life of prayer, guess what? So should we. There is power in prayer. You know, our prayers need to be purposeful. Even if the purpose is just to spend time with God, that's great. When we attach purpose behind our prayer, it stirs a passion. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but there's been times where I've just prayed because that's the right thing to do, which is fine. Or, you know, I want to spend time with God, and it's great. But I notice a difference when I begin to pray with purpose. You know, when I get that praise, prayer request in, or I know that there's one of my young adults who are struggling with something, or there's something going on in someone else's world or my world, when I put purpose behind my prayer, something begins to change in my prayer life. Becomes passionate. Becomes meaningful. You know, and this is how God designed us. We have to ensure that we don't pray drive-by prayers. You know what I mean by drive-by prayers? You go to McDonald's, order your dinner. You go there and the speaker box, or Felicity, she talks to you and she says, hey, how you going tonight? Can I take your order? And I say, yes, can I get a large double quarter pounder? No pickles, no onions, large fries, and a bottle of water for the drink. And she says, yeah, no worries, drive through the next window. I pay and I go. Sometimes we can treat our prayer life like that. It's a quick in and out. I don't know, it's a part of being in the fast food generation, but it's a quick in and out prayer, or better yet, a voicemail prayer. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of leaving voicemail prayers for God. I remember this one time. Okay, this is a story I'm going to share with you. I'm going to be vulnerable, so don't judge me. It is funny and you're going to laugh. Okay, but laugh with me. Don't laugh at me. Okay, I'm being vulnerable. And so I remember I got myself into a pickle. Probably a couple of years ago, I was working for a big company and they started to move into a direction that I didn't agree with. Biblically and morally, I had different stances because of my faith, and they moved in that direction. I wanted to go in this direction because I wasn't willing to move forward and promote what they wanted me to promote that wasn't according to the Word of God. It's fine. It's fine. And I remember this time, I had to have this big meeting, right, with all the bosses. They flew two of the bosses in from the other, one from Perth and one from somewhere else. They flew them in to have this meeting with me, and I was panicking. I was like, oh, no, this is like the worst situation I could be in right now. I really need this job, and I don't know what to do. And so I'm getting ready, and I get in my car, and I start to drive to work, and I'm like panicking. I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm trying to distract my mind. I'm trying to work out ways that in my infinite wisdom, which is this much, get out of the situation or talk my way out of it. And I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me, saying, hey, I'm here. I'm like, yeah, yeah, all good, mate. Just relax. I'll be there in a minute. Don't judge me. You've done it. Come on. And, you know, I'm getting close to work and I'm starting to get anxiety and I'm sweating and all that stuff. And I feel the Holy Spirit say again, hey, buddy, I'm right here. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm getting there. Wait till I park my car. I park my car and I check my time and I had 2 minutes left. Okay. And I'm like, okay, God, this is your time. And this is a voicemail prayer. Waited 30 seconds, he didn't answer, so I left a voicemail. Hey God, how you going? It's Bray. Just letting you know I'm walking into a situation. I need you to change their mind. I need you to do this and I need you to do that. Oh, and yeah, you've got like half an hour to do it. Thanks. Speak to you soon or give me a call back. And hung up. And I went into this meeting. This is true. You know, everything I prayed for, not one thing happened. Nothing. I was left alone in there, not because of God, because of my own stupid choices. And, you know, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, apart from me. Not, I didn't lose my job. That was probably the only thing that didn't happen. And I remember being so angry, and I was walking back to my car, and I was like, just like staunch, like just walking like this, and I was talking to myself, and I was walking through the shopping center, so it kind of looked a bit weird, and there was a big car park, and I got out into my car, and I was so frustrated that I started having an argument with God. And I'm like, God, I prayed, and you ignored me. Your word says, and I felt the Holy Spirit in that moment say, shh, be quiet. I said, don't shush me. Don't shush me. Don't do that. This is a true story. I couldn't make this up if I tried. And I'm like, no, no, your word says if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given to me. And I ask in your name, and guess what? Nothing. And he's like, shush, just be quiet. Close your mouth. And I'm like, mate, I'm telling you, don't shush me. And then this is how silly I was. I actually said this to God. I said, if you think wrestling with Jacob was bad, why don't you come down here and have a wrestle with me, big boy? That's what I said. You ever wonder what the grace of God looks like? I'm breathing, I'm talking, I'm not dead. He didn't strike me down. That's the grace of God. That's what that is. And anyways, so I'm like getting so angry with him. And the Holy Spirit just one more time goes, Braden, please stop talking. And I'm like, mate, don't tell me to be quiet. Next minute I hear this still small voice. Excuse me, darling. Are you okay? I went, oh no, what has happened? I'm sitting in my car and I looked to my left and I realized my window was completely down and there was a lady sitting in the car next to me. This went on for 5 minutes. Those of you who know me know I'm a passionate guy. You know I can get passionate, I can get loud. I don't even need the microphone to preach. And she says to me, she goes, are you okay? I said, yep, I'm fine. Then she asked me the question that I knew she'd ask and I didn't want to ask. She said, who are you talking to? Oh, oh, man. I thought for a moment and I went, okay. Christians are already classified as weird and hated. So I'm not going to... Okay, and people don't really talk to God as it is now. And I don't really want to make him look like an idiot because I'm an idiot. So I just didn't say anything. I just put my window up and I proceeded to drive off. And her face, oh my goodness. I pray to God that she doesn't come to this church. No, I'm kidding, I don't pray that. Moral of the story, don't be stupid. But, you know, I'm just sharing, this is my real relationship with God. I have a real relationship with God. God is my friend. God is my father. God is my comforter. So I talk to him like I talk to anyone. I have a relationship with God. And you know, something that I find is that in regards to prayer, is we can kind of overcomplicate things. You know, as Christians, we tend to overcomplicate things. And the truth is that we're a complicated people as it is. We don't need to go and complicate prayer. Prayer doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be weird. It just needs to be communicative talk with God. However you do that is fine. I want to give you some examples of weird prayer. I remember Pastor Gray spoke this morning about prayer meetings, and I've got three stories of my own prayer meetings. When I first got saved, when I gave my heart back to God, it was nine years ago, and I got saved in a pretty charismatic church. And I remember this one day, it was my first prayer meeting ever attended. And I was like, okay, cool. I've been to prayer meetings when I was a kid. They weren't too bad. It was pretty cool. And I went in there, and we're sitting in a circle. We're standing in a circle. And we have our eyes closed. And this person begins to pray. And the words that came out of their mouth kind of scared me a little bit, because they were like the over-spiritual type prayers. And so we're all standing there waiting. Next minute I hear, oh, Daddy God, Yeshua of Yahweh. And I'm like, what the heck? What are they talking about? And they were talking like they were using all these spiritual... I've only been saved for 2 weeks. It nearly actually put me off. Luckily, there's the grace of God on my life. But, you know, the moral of that story is that there's no need to be weird or complicate prayer. You know, I remember we were at a church service. It was a spiritual night or a prophecy night, and this lady was coming and ministering. And during prayer, she felt from the Lord to tell the congregation to lie down on their backs. And I went, I kind of got a new shirt. I got brand new pants. I'm not lying on that floor. I'm going to just gently get up and walk myself to the back. So I did, and a couple of my mates joined me. And she was praying for quite a while. And then she says, okay, I feel the Holy Spirit say, put your legs in the air. And I was like, oh my goodness, babe, you remember this? I was like, okay, this is kind of a bit weird right now. And then, I can't make this up. Then she says, right, while she's praying, she says, okay, church, I just feel like God is going to birth something in the supernatural. And on the count of three, you're going to let out groaning birth pains in Jesus' name. Oh, I was cringing. I didn't know whether to call the police. I didn't know whether she had escaped from somewhere she shouldn't escape from. I didn't know. Moral of the story, we don't need to complicate prayer. We are complicated enough. Yet after all these experiences, I know it's funny. It is, it's funny. I laugh about it now. I was traumatized back then. I wasn't laughing about it, but I laugh about it now. And I've come to understand this. It's not really about how you pray. It's not really about the right words to say. It's that you pray, yeah. Right? And God desires dialogue prayer, not monologue prayer. God is not a God that we get to give a list of demands to, tick the boxes, and just expect him to move on our behalf. I mean, he might. He can do anything he wants to do. But from what I've come to understand is that God desires relationship with every single one of us. And that relationship starts by saying, hey, God, how you going? Just having genuine talk with him. Power doesn't come from being loud. Power doesn't come from being quiet. Power doesn't come from who you are or what you say. Power comes from whose you are and what he's already said. That's where the power comes from. So if you find yourself getting a bit confused about your prayer life and all that, don't complicate it. Just be vulnerable with the Holy Spirit. Lean into what God is doing. Lean into what God is saying. And just allow your spirit man to dictate where your flesh man is going to go. Praise God. Wow. You know, prayer is a process. Biblically speaking, there's a bit of a process to prayer. There's many different processes in the Bible. There's many different analogies. One I found was in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most of us would know it. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. As the worship team comes tonight. You know, it takes humility to be a people of prayer. It really does. It takes humility to recognize that God's will, that God's purpose for our lives, for our families' lives, for our friends, for our community, for our church, far bigger than ours. It takes humility to be a people of prayer. And prayer is an actionable process. Prayer is more of a position, more of a heart position, and more of a physical position than it is anything that comes out of your mouth. And the Word of God says here that, I'll break it down. First, we humble ourselves. What does humbling look like? It means to put aside our pride, put aside our arrogance, put aside our passions and our desires, and actually come before God and realize that we need God. I need God. I can't go and do my day today without God in my life. I can't be up here speaking tonight without pursuing and understanding that there is a need in my life that only God can fill. Because it's God's rightful place to fill. First, we humble ourselves, come before God, and you know what, God, I need you. I need you in my school. I need you in my workplace. I need you at home when I'm about to communicate with my parents. I need you, God. I can't do this without you. The second one is seek his face. The scriptures talk about seeking God. What does that look like? It means to desire God, to have a desire for him and him alone. Seeking his face, to be God, I desire you. Not only do I need you, God, but you are the only one that I desire right now in this very moment. God, my desire is that you would begin to move. My desire is that you would begin to speak. I need you, God, and I desire you. The other parts of this message, the other parts of this scripture says to turn away from your sin, or to turn away from those things that are not pleasing to God, and then he will hear our prayers and begin to move in our lives, or heal our lands, begin to move in our lives. What does that look like when God moves in your life? What does it look like when you bring yourself to a point where you're humble, you're seeking his face, you desire him, you're turning away from the way you've been living because you want to please him, and he begins to move in your world? To some people, that looks like healing in your body. To some people, it looks like breakthrough in your finances, and can be as small or as big, it doesn't matter. It looks like families being saved and being restored, sons and daughters coming back to the house of God. It looks like having physical encounters with God, actually feeling his presence. Word of God doesn't say you have to feel his presence. You get to feel his presence. It's a beautiful thing. It looks like being stirred up for the things of God. You know what? There is nothing worse. Back to the phone analogy. There is nothing worse than walking around with your phone on low battery. 10% charge. You have two options. You can let your phone go dead, or you can charge it so that it can be used and operated the way it was designed to be. The same is true for us. We walk around with low battery, tired of life, ready to give up, no passion, no desire to see God move, just walking through the mundane, the everyday, like it's, no, I'm just here for now. Don't really understand my purpose. Walking around on low battery, can I tell you tonight, there is an answer. That answer is to connect to the power source. The answer is to turn your attention and your affection back onto Jesus where it belongs. When we pray, when we connect with God, the Holy Spirit begins to move. The Holy Spirit will infill and stir up and cover you and place an anointing over you. Praise you, God. You know, my heart is that we would be a people of prayer. Pastor Gray said it this morning. This would be a house of prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is meaningful. Prayer is one of the most important things that we get to do as Christians here on earth. You know, maybe you're in this place tonight and you know that your prayer life isn't where it should be. Maybe as I've been preaching and speaking to you, Holy Spirit's been doing something in your heart, stirring you up, creating that passion. Maybe that fire that you once had began to smolder out. I believe tonight the Holy Spirit wants to stoke that fire. Tonight I want to give the opportunity for us to respond to that. Why don't you just close your eyes and bow your heads quickly in this place? If you're in this place tonight and you know what I just said, you know your prayer life isn't there, you want to make a change, maybe you've been going on this journey for a while and you know that you need something else in your life right now. Tonight, if that's you, if you're in this place and you want to make a decision to change your prayer life, I'm speaking to the Christians here right now. I'd ask that you just give me a wave. Here's why. I'm just going to pray, just quickly. I'm just going to pray together. I see hands going up. Well, no one's looking around. Awesome. Awesome. Why don't you put your hands down, keep your eyes closed. As I pray, I want you to join with me in prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to come before your presence tonight. Father, I thank you for those who have raised their hands to say that enough is enough. God, for those who have raised their hands to say, you know what, Lord, my prayer life isn't where it should be, and tonight I need to connect to the power source. I've been running on low, God. Father, I've been running out of passion. I've been running out of grace. I've been running towards burnout. Right now, God, I pray that you would begin to minister, that you would begin to speak, that you would begin to stir it up in this place, Father. As we say, enough is enough. Tonight, we are walking out of this place filled with your presence, filled with your passion. We're walking out a praying people tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And secondly, maybe you're in this place, keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. Maybe you're in this place and, you know, you don't know the God that I've been talking about tonight. Maybe it's your first time in church. Maybe you've never had a relationship with God, or maybe you have and you've walked away. But tonight, it's your night to say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you a shot. I've been trying to live my own life for far too long and I keep getting to the same place every single time, which is nowhere. Feeling empty, feeling alone. You know, if you're in this place and you want to decide to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, your friend tonight, well, no one is looking around. Would you just give me a wave? Or maybe you're in this place, you want to reconnect your life, recommit. I see those hands. I see that hand. Come on. Come on. If you made that decision for the first time, maybe you're recommitting. I just ask that as I pray, you make this prayer your prayer. Father, thank you so much for the hearts that opened up tonight, God. Lord, we just thank you so much for your saving grace. We thank you for your blood that still saves today, God. And for those that have said yes for the very first time, we thank you, Father, for the new beginnings, for the start of something new. Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins. I pray that you would teach us how to walk with you in righteousness, God. Teach us to be a people of prayer. Teach us how to communicate and talk and have dialogue with you tonight, Father. Father, tonight we just submit. We submit. We come to you humbly tonight, God. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. Thank you, God, that you've been ministering tonight to people. I pray, Lord, that this would be it. A solidifying moment, God, where lives are being restored, where lives are being turned around in this very place tonight. We thank you, Jesus, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, can we give a hand clap to those who raised their hands tonight? Come on.